All right, good morning, everyone. I'm going to take just a second here. I'm going to need to write a little note here for Tyler because I just was given some information. And so he'll make this announcement at the end of services. It's good to be with you this morning. Appreciate the fact that you're here and out and about this morning, and grateful that you have come our way if you're visiting with us. We appreciate the fact that on a rainy and wet day that it did not prevent you from getting out and serving our Lord. And we are thankful for that. It's always a great day when we can come, regardless of the weather. But we are so thankful for the new year and the things that have been going on in our own lives. And I don't know about you, this is the fourth Sunday of the new year. It's gone by quick so far, and you know, think to have almost one month completely gone, and we've got one more Sunday yet of this month. But it has gone by fast. We have, at least for the first four Sundays of this year, have set forth a theme for the new year of Be More in 2017. And what we're talking about is four different subjects, and we've talked about already being courageous, being influential, being diligent, which was last week. And this morning we're going to talk about being optimistic in the new year. Many people might look at me and say, well, it's going to be kind of hard to be optimistic in the new year. There's so many negative things going on around us, locally or nationally or even internationally. We might look at things around us and think about that, but let me suggest something to us. If you think about the reading from the Scripture this morning, that was the Apostle Paul having a very optimistic outlook. Even though he did not have what he knew was in front of him, he still pressed on toward that goal. And in order for us as children of God to move toward heaven, to stand before God and hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," we need to be more optimistic in the year 2017. It has been said that an optimist sees an opportunity in every calamity. A pessimist sees a calamity in every opportunity. And that may be true in the way we look at things. That is, whether we are a person who is a glass half empty person or a glass half full mentality. And we need to think about that. But when the Apostle Paul talked about pressing forward, he mentioned something there that is difficult for some people. Because for some, the hardest part of moving forward is not looking backward. We tend to live in the past. I posted something on Facebook yesterday using verses 13 and 14 of the text that was just read to you. And I want to reread those to you for just a moment. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." The child of God should always live a life of progress. Progress that is moving forward. And it may not always be easy for us to continually reach out for that goal, that prize, that upper call of God, because we're going to have spots in our lives that are going to be hills and valleys. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This next PowerPoint slide that you're going to see is the best one I have ever put together. So don't stand there with your jaws dropped open in awe of it, okay? What do you see? If I were to ask you right now what you saw on that slide, you might try to describe to me this little black spot right there. If you could describe its dimensions, you might tell me that it is either an oval or a circle. But what did you concentrate on this slide? You concentrated on that spot, didn't you? And that's what we do, I think, sometimes in our lives. We concentrate on the dark spots in our lives. And what happens in this is just this. We forget about everything that surrounds it. We forget about that unblemished, uncluttered part of our lives. You think about all the white space that was right there. That was uncluttered space. And in our lives, sometimes we get so locked in on that one dark spot that we can no longer move forward. We can no longer press on. See, sometimes the simple things are easiest for us to see. And you think about this, when we talk about being positive or negative, ask yourself, which one are you? You know, are you negative all the time or are you positive all the time? I think we tend to be a mixture of both, but there are some that stay in that negative Nancy mode more often than the positive Pete mode, don't they? As children of God, when I listen to the Apostle Paul there in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16, I see an optimist. I see a man who knows that there is something greater for him awaiting him, and all he has to do is keep moving forward till it's attained. And the thing is, it's attainable. That's what he's trying to get us to understand. We can attain it. We can receive it. God is willing to give it to us, but we have to keep moving forward toward Him and not looking back, not concentrating on all of the failures, all of the dark spots in our lives, not living fully in the valleys of our lives, but moving forward so that we can live on those hilltops. A young boy came home from school one day, brought his report card home, handed it to his dad. His dad looked at the report card, and the young boy, sitting there waiting for the response from his dad, dad looked at it, report card's full of D's and F's. The young boy is waiting, and dad looks at him and says, "Well, what have you got to say about this?" This is the optimist speaking. He said, "Dad, well, I know you can be proud of me. At least you know I haven't been cheating." How do we look at life? How do we go through life and consider these things? Well, let's look at it this way. Our life is a gift from God. Our life is a gift. The day that we live into the present. Have you ever heard it say we live in the present because it is a gift from God? Because today is described as a present. Our whole life is a gift from God. God has been gracious and loving because He sent His own Son into this world to die for our sins. He was buried. He was raised again on that third day. He is exalted by the Father to sit at His right hand. We serve a living Savior. And we of all people in this world should be optimistic and full of joy in our lives. So why do we concentrate on the negative things all the time when we have such great blessings? When you listen to the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 talk about the bountiful blessings that we have in Christ Jesus, why do we not spend more time counting our blessings than we do looking back? What happens when you look back? You can't live in the past. Ask Lot's wife what it means to look back. It cost her her life. You think about our own lives and where we are today and think about this, the optimism. It's a cheerful frame of mind that enables a tea kettle to sing through hot, though in hot water up to its nose. And the pessimist is one who feels bad when he feels good for fear he'll feel worse when he feels better. Did you hear anything like that in what Paul said? Not even close. I haven't apprehended it, but one thing I do, I forget those things that are laying behind and I press forward to those things that are ahead. We need to keep that in mind. Because in reality, when we start talking about a definition for optimism, just in our American Heritage Dictionary or Webster's Dictionary, you're going to find a definition like this. A tendency to expect the best possible outcome or dwell on the most hopeful aspects of a situation. That should be us as children of God. hopefulness is a synonym. When you start talking about Christian hope, we sang a song just a second ago, and I didn't ask Ryan to lead it. But what do we have as an anchor for the soul? Hope is an anchor for the soul because we have this confident expectation that God, who has never failed to keep a promise, is going to keep a promise that He's offered to all those who will become His children. And eternity in heaven. Optimism is not a bad thing at all to think about it, because hopefulness, there's this confidence expectation, as I said, the buoyancy, the good spirits. A couple of the ladies in the back came in today. Some of them said, well, I'm doing just fine. And you know, have you ever said, I'm fine and dandy? Or I've got a little skip in my step? Why would you have that if you didn't have a more positive outlook on things? And as a child of God, that's exactly what we should have. We should not have this pessimism, this despair. Oh, the political climate is horrible in the U.S. No, it's not. God is our King. We don't live in that kingdom, in the kingdom of the world. We live in the kingdom of God. Oh, terrorism is just horrible. There is no man that can destroy your soul. And you do not need to live in fear of what man can do to you physically. Fear God, because He can destroy both body and soul in hell. But there's optimism there for every one of us to consider. So it requires a proper mental attitude. And I believe that's what Paul is helping us understand too. Even in those brief verses, he has a right attitude toward things. Attitudes that will keep him moving forward. And you think about this. In our spiritual lives, because I truly believe that's what Philippians 4 verse 13 is talking about. It's not with a football game or a basketball game or sporting event or anything like that. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, can't we? Just like Paul said. We can learn no matter what condition that we're in, whether we are abounding at the time or whether we are suffering at the time, to find a blessing there. And we can persevere and move through. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. How do you think you can overcome temptation to sin in your life? Through Christ who strengthens you. Optimism. Every day should be a brighter day because you are a child of God. Every day should be a day of joy and gladness. And I know we go through hills and valleys and we will suffer. But the only way we can have an outlook that is truly an uplook toward heaven is when we start changing our thinking. We start changing our thinking toward God and thanking Him instead of blaming Him. We change our attitude toward a Savior. Yes, He truly is risen from the grave. He truly is sitting at the right hand of God. He is alive. Yes, I have hope that other individuals may not have. Sometimes that outlook needs to change into that uplook. Stop looking at the dark spots. Stop living in the past. Always be moving forward. Peter describes us in his first epistle as pilgrims, sojourners. Sojourners are people that are moving all the time. They're not always in one location for any great length of time. There's a life of progress. We should be moving toward that goal in our own lives. And our goal is moving through this life toward heaven. I think of it this way. Have you ever noticed that our economy fluctuates up and down based on optimism or pessimism toward it? Why is the stock exchange, those who are investing in, called bears and bulls? The bulls are the ones that are bullish on the market. And when they're bullish on the market, what happens? It drives it up. There's optimism. And the bears, backing away. Things aren't going to go our way. We're going to sell now. We're not going to buy. You think about that. Members of God's kingdom can have similar attitudes. Members of God's kingdom need to understand we don't need to be afraid like the one talent man in Matthew chapter 25. Because what did it say of that gentleman? He said, "And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground." Look, there you have what is yours. It's sad when we get landlocked by fear, by pessimism. Every one of us is a child of God today. If you're not walking around with a smile on your face, joy in your heart, then think about changing your attitude. Members of God's kingdom should not be afraid. We can be afraid and fail to start to work. Here's the thing. If you're going to change your attitude toward talking to people about Christ. Change your attitude from, "Oh, I can't do that," to, "Yes, I can." Change your attitude about your service to God in your daily living. "I can serve Him better." "Oh, I'm just going to keep on going like I'm going. It's good enough." Change your attitude. Every one of us. You think about what the Apostle Paul, we've looked at the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He's made mention to them about abounding more and more. Our lives should be just that as a child of God. Whether it be in love, whether it be in service, whether it be any aspect of our life, to be able to abound more and more means we've got to have an attitude that allows us to keep moving forward, to keep growing as children of God. So therefore, it requires drive and accomplishment. You think about this. Paul's statement in Philippians chapter 3 about moving forward, there's motivation there that causes that. There's a desire that keeps moving him forward. The same thing that should be in each and every one of us. You think about the children of Israel and Nehemiah and the troubles that they were facing after they had returned to Jerusalem after captivity for 70 years. And some of them came back into town, and Nehemiah chapter 2 especially, Nehemiah had snuck out at night and he had already examined the city walls, and he's come back to the people and told them, "We need to build." And in Nehemiah chapter 4, problems arise from external forces. And what is said there, "So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work." It would have been just as easy for them to lay their tools down, lay their spears down, that they were swords they were holding in one hand and their working tools that they were using in the other. It would have just been just as easy to do that and go back to their homes. They'd already been condemned for doing that. But instead, it took a change of heart to get them to do this and keep on keeping on. We need to understand to do that very same thing in our own lives. That whatever external forces there may be, whatever external influences there are in our lives that are trying to keep us from serving God, keep a sword in one hand and keep working with the other. We can do that. The sword I'm talking about is the Word of God, because it is our sword of faith. Faith in God produces optimism. Why? Because we walk by faith and not by sight. That's what we see in what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. And we think about that, and the psalmist says in Psalm 27 and verse 13, "I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." It's so easy to lose heart over things, but faith increases our confidence. It keeps us steadfast. It keeps our nerves steady, and it helps direct our steps. And when you think about this, living in the day that God has given you. What I stated yesterday on Facebook was history is about those things in the past. We cannot live there. We don't live there. We live in the present. And yet we press on toward the future, but we do not live in the future. We live in the present. So we take each day that God has given us and count it as a blessing. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Not just that it's the Lord's Day, but if we are fortunate enough to see Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, we rejoice in each day because our Creator has given it to us. You see, today provides us with new opportunities. It gives us actually an opportunity to redeem what was done yesterday, to correct yesterday's failures, to improve our lives. Therefore, we must see then that you walk circumspectly and not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. That's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 16. Give the world your best. When you do that, it should make you more optimistic. So giving the world what God has given us, what would you give the world today? The world has a way of coming back to you, doesn't it? You think about it. What you sow is what you reap. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. What we give is generally what we get back. So let us give the world God. Give the world His Son. Give the world hope. Give the world true optimism. It's not just make certain things great again. It's making God great. It's making our lives great in His sight. It is not serving God with half-hearted service. It is giving Him everything we are. God does not want mediocrity. He wants excellence from each one of us. And in doing so, what we understand is we keep moving forward with a positive attitude, a positive outlook in life. And there are many reasons to be an optimistic Christian. Every good deed, like you said, will return to you. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 1, the wise man states that. But we need to understand that we endure emotional ups and downs. But do you count the valleys as blessings? James chapter 1 and verse 2. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And we're going to have them. We're not going to be able to avoid them. They're going to find us. But do we see the silver lining in the cloud, or do we see the cloud in the silver lining? Will you count the bad as a blessing just as the good? Because you know what? Sometimes that bad might be giving us or telling us that we need to make a course correction in our own lives. Maybe we've gotten off of that narrow road that leads to eternal life and found ourselves on that broad road that leads to destruction. And sometimes those bad things that we suffer are supposed to help direct us back to that narrow way. There are biblical examples of those who were optimistic and pessimistic. I think about Moses at first, and in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10, I know that Moses doubted that he could even speak. He didn't feel capable of speaking to the Israelites. In Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10, then Moses said to the Lord, "Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." I can just see him moaning a little bit when he's saying that, and he's talking to the Lord there. And so, "Oh, why are you choosing me?" But look at what happened to Moses. Look what became of his life. Became a deliverer of Israel from Egypt, Egyptian bondage. They followed him into the wilderness because God was with him. I think about Joseph in Genesis chapter 37, and I think about all of the things that occurred in his life, of all the turmoil, being hated by his brothers, being sold into slavery. And when he's in Potiphar's house, being elevated to a position of being head of the household, save Potiphar himself. And the only thing that was withheld from Joseph in the household of Potiphar was Potiphar's wife. And I think about the attitude of Joseph in the midst of that struggle right there. When Potiphar comes home and gets the false accusations from his wife, and Joseph is thrown into prison, he still finds a way to come out on the other side, doesn't he? Later on. And you realize the number of times in the account there in Potiphar's house? I think three times within that context, there's the phrase is, the Lord was with him. Potiphar recognized that the Lord was with him. Joseph knew that the Lord was with him. But why? Because he had an attitude. How can I do this and sin against God? He always thought of God first. Joseph, I think, had a positive outlook on things that some people would have had a very difficult time in overcoming. Thinking about being thrown in prison for preaching Christ. Peter and John in Acts chapter 4. What does he tell them? Okay, you decide. Who should we listen to? You or God? Should we stop preaching God today because people are making fun of you as a child of God? No. Become more bold. That's optimism right there. Become more bold. Make the decision to stand up and don't let anybody prevent you from talking about a Savior that changed your life. Think about Paul's thorn in the flesh for just a moment. Even though we don't know specifically what it was still present. And know this, how did God answer him when he asked him to remove that thorn in the flesh those three times? My grace is sufficient for you. That's optimism too. When you get right down to it and you think about everything that's been done in our lives, God's grace truly is sufficient for us. It's sufficient enough to save us. It is sufficient enough to sustain us in life. It is sufficient enough to get us to heaven. From history, Franklin Roosevelt fell victim to polio. Fanny J. Crosby, who's written several of the songs in our song that we sing in our songbooks, became blind when she was 6 years old. They did not bury themselves in self-pity, pessimism, but they took that gray cloud that had surrounded them and turned it inside out, and they discovered the silver lining. Roosevelt became president. Crosby became a songwriter, poet. What we do with what we're given in this life may determine where we spend the next life. An optimistic attitude as a Christian is worth more than gold. It allows you to look on the bright side of life. It is the attitude that the joy of life outweighs the pain. It is the attitude that Paul states in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we'll look at it here in just a moment. But whichever way the wind doth blow, my heart is glad to have it so. Then blow it east or blow it west. The wind that blows, that wind is best. And so our outlook is that if I remain a faithful child of God, that if I allow my life to be led by God, and I keep positive and pressing forward to reach that upward call that He has extended to us, then we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. That's not talking about finances. That's not talking about marriages that are struggling. That's talking about people who are faithful to God and an eternal outcome. That's the important part of that. It's understanding that we can overcome, and when we do overcome the world and truly become His child, all things will work together for good, because that eternal blessing is there awaiting us. Never give up. Quitting will destroy you. Be kind. Be wise. Taste the victory. Take the victories and the defeats that you have in life. And then look at your life, and you will truly be blessed, and you will see that your cup truly overflows because you are His child. Never give up. Take out your songbooks. The song that we're about to sing is going to serve as a song of invitation to you. The opportunity is yours at this time to respond to the Lord's invitation. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It is He and only He who can provide you the soul cleansing power of His blood. It is He and only He that can truly lift your burdens, because His burden is easy. And if we are just willing to follow Him, we are able to do that, which prepares us for that great day that is coming. Pressing forward to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we encourage you to respond to it this morning. Baptism for the remission of sins, or an erring life that is strayed from God, come back to Him and reconcile your life to Him today. Won't you come? As together we stand and as we sing.